Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Living Astrology with Janet Hickox. Grab your cup of coffee or your tea, sit back, and let's chat about what is happening up in the sky above us. It is probably going to be one of the calmer, brighter days of the week, at least here in the Northwest. It started out with the sun shining. I think there are clouds coming in now, but it was warmish and brightish. And I kind of like that on a day where the moon has made her move into Leo. She did that at 5:34 a.m. my time, so about 8:34 for those of you out on the East Coast. And yes, happy day, right? The moon in Leo gets us a little bit away from some of that emotional energy that we've been feeling with the moon in Cancer. And you just gotta love it when we can somehow be more playful, more creative, more expressive, as opposed to being more security oriented, emotional or moody and homebound. So today, get out, everybody, get up, get out, get doing some things. I'm checking in really quick. I see good morning to Amy and Phantom Chroma and Kimberly Eberhard. Good morning to you. Ursula, hello to you. And Laura Wolfberg, good morning. Augustina, good morning. And Joshua Nichols, good morning. It is great to see you all and great to have you with us. So today we come to a pause in the energy. We had yesterday's energy of Neptune turning retrograde. Today there aren't any big changes going on astrologically, of course, except the moon, who has moved into Leo. Tomorrow we'll have Venus retrograde going to Venus direct, slowing down, halting her move, stationing, as we say, to prepare for her forward motion, which also changes her trajectory in terms of what she's focusing our energies on as a society. And we'll talk more about that tomorrow as she moves into her fullness phase, according to the book that we've been looking at, The Light of Venus by Adam Gainsburg. Today, we are also going to take a little bit of a dive into Neptune retrograde and what gate Neptune is sitting at in human design and the gene keys. Just a reminder that Neptune for the entire year has been sitting at the gate 22 and will continue to sit there. That is a gate on the emotional center, and it is a gate that is engaged with our involution, right? How we learn to use emotions appropriately. And then lastly, today we will talk about the Pleiadian Earth energy and what that has brought us to. So let's take a look now at what the moon is doing today. And I said the moon, of course, is now in Leo. Before we woke up this morning, though, the moon was in an opposition to, a trine to Mars. And that may have prompted maybe an early awakening this morning as that energy kind of zipped through us. It could have made, for interesting dreams, maybe some conflict showing up in your dreams. I know I woke up at like 5:23, so about 5 minutes before the moon moved into the sign of Leo. And I was like, whoa, there's a change. I feel it, right? I'm up and I'm awake. I did crawl back into bed because I didn't want to get up then, but I stayed awake. And that's kind of that Leo energy begins to really run through you. And then later, as we move through the day, we get into an opposition with Saturn. So let's see, right now the moon is sitting, or earlier when I pulled this chart this morning, the moon was sitting at 0 degrees, 37 minutes of Leo. So it had just moved in. And so maybe now it's at about 1 degree. And we see that Saturn is at 0 to 1 degrees right now of Aquarius. So we have that opposition setting up. And when we have the moon in an opposition to Saturn, there's often that moment of frustration or that melancholic feeling. Sometimes we are dealing with emotions because of something that someone else has said or done. And so we have that kind of feeling of going down into the low. Maybe some of you are even more sleepy than usual, feeling lethargic, but this too shall pass as the day wears on. The moon comes into a sextile with Venus in her last full day of retrograde. And then later in the day can provide us with some surprises as the moon squares Uranus in Taurus. So squaring energy, of course, can bring up challenges. Sometimes we get stuck in our ways and we don't want to change. I just realized that my husband hung SpongeBob up on the wall. Oh my goodness. And I didn't realize he was in my field of view. So I put flowers there and everything this morning. Yeah. Well, thank you, Terry. So anyway, we have some creative energy obviously running through the field this morning, and some more playful energy. Maybe SpongeBob there really epitomizes that for all of us today. The square to Uranus, that's what I was talking about. Now remember, Uranus is really a planet that breaks us out of or frees us from something. So he is often representing a rebellion of some sort and or some kind of revolutionary impulse that's pushing. It's almost like a an evolution pulse that if you're not ready for change, you're pushed into the change. And the fact that the moon emotions will be squaring that kind of gives us a cue that we may have some emotional resistance to what the planet Uranus is freeing us up from or freeing us to. His real key word, if you will, is liberation. Isn't that great? Now, this morning I happened to catch a moment. I don't even know why the news was on in my living room, but I walked in and there was a picture of the Senate in session with nobody in there except a couple of people. Mostly they're participating from home. And they were talking about Seattle and this Capitol Hill organized protest, CHOP. Capitol Hill is a place in downtown Seattle. It's a beautiful area. And they had marked off at in front of this older police station, a free zone, an officer free zone. And they've been having protests and so forth. And you may have heard the president and Mitch McConnell, who are sort of irritated that Seattle doesn't take drastic action and take back that part of town and blah, blah, blah. Yet the people who are living there, homeless people included, are benefiting a bit by having this safe zone. Now, there's other things about it that I'm not really into because I haven't really paid much attention to the news itself. But I thought it was interesting that that was popping up in our field this morning with Uranus as a liberator later on in the day. So I'll have to sort of keep an ear out to what is happening with CHOP today as we get in. Because, of course, the rhetoric is ugly. Their purpose, I don't think, is ugly. I think they are a little bit like Greenpeace was in the 80s and the 90s, where they were really trying to call attention to, even the 70s, I think they were a little bit radical, right? But they got the attention of people and what damage was being done to the ecosystems and so forth. You may not like their means or their ways of getting the point across, but they certainly shake up the paradigm. And I think something like this particular protest where they've, you know, just basically taken over a part of the city is sort of a tell in what is coming for us as we move later into this year and on into 2021. So here is a shout out. This is a little in to what's going on in 2021, is that not long after we enter into the new year, Saturn and Jupiter, both freshly in the sign of Aquarius at that point in time, will come into a square with Uranus. So we're sort of getting a foreshadow of what kind of liberation or freedom movement or statement that the society may be, you know, getting ready to make at this point in time. And, you know, I think the more that we go willingly into this, not necessarily into the chaos or the crime of it in some cases, but if we go willingly into the idea that this has to shift, then maybe we can forestall the civil war, the actual warlike energy that comes later as Uranus moves into the sign of Gemini. Every time that Uranus has moved through the sign of Gemini, there has been a major warfare type of event. The Civil War happened at that period of time. The Revolutionary War happened at that particular time. World War I happened at that particular period of time, that concept being birthed of a world at war. And so we don't want that anymore. We're so done with that, right? So let's move in with our hearts and our minds wide open to maybe embrace the change that needs to be made in order for us to merge through these kind of dangerous times that we find ourselves in, at least the chaotic times that we find ourselves in. Now, if we focus our energy then on what Leo brings us for the day and for the next couple of days, first and foremost, it is a sign of creativity. In your astrology chart, Leo is the ruler, the natural ruler of the fifth house, which is the house of play and creativity and recreation or vacations, children, and the childlike enthusiasm that we can embrace and move through our lives with. It represents joy and love and romance. And it is literally a place, a house where we have to, you know, kind of put ourselves out there a bit, risk ourselves a bit, take qualified risks, conscious risks, and in moving forward or in putting our work out there or in demonstrating our mastery in something. So today, very creative, artistically expressive. I thought I had that artistry going on. It's behind my shoulder over here. Flowers that my daughter gave me for my birthday. I was like, oh, I'm going to put them here and yada, yada. Well, okay. Then there's SpongeBob, right? The creative and artistic expression based on your passion and the ability for you to self-actualize, which means to be able to put yourself out there and actualize your own passions or your own expression. Love and romance, also a part of our Leo experience. So dating, the idea of giving and receiving love. There's generosity engaged here as well, as we have a loving, giving heart during this period of time. We are more loyal to a cause, to a person, to whatever it is that we're loyal to, our family, etc. We want more joy in our lives, and simple things can bring us joy. For example, our children, laughter, love, a message given to somebody, a message that you give out to somebody, because kindness is also a part of this. And there's the possibility that just some kind words can really generate that loving feeling and make somebody's day, make somebody feel good. Celebration, also a part of our Leo experience. So fun and play again, with the idea of some excitement, right? Generating some excitement. I know that there's still a lot of the COVID virus going around. And in some states, I mean, it's just exploded. But why can't you have a personal home party, right? With whoever's in your home or whoever's close by that you've been in contact with. And, you know, make it a coffee party, make it a party where you just come together for singing or dancing or whatever it is. Maybe you want to cook something together, get together with small groups or with whatever it is that the rules allow for where you live at the moment, and make it a celebration. Now, Leo also rules some more serious things, let's say. For instance, dignity is another word that we think of. Think of the lion, right? That royal or regal presence or countenance. So dignity. Leo wants to be recognized. The moon in Leo sort of brings that up for us, where we want to be heard. We want our opinions or our work or our contribution to be recognized and valued by our peers or by our family or community. It is about being in the center stage. Leo, if you ever watch Leos themselves, Leo's son, basically, sometimes Leo stelliums do this as well, or Leo moon. There's a need for them to get heard, valued, recognized. They want to be seen. They want to be the center of someone's world, or they want to be the center of attention. But they also have sort of a weakness, which is they feel a lack of confidence in themselves. So they often are playing a bit of a hide and seek with getting their work out into the world or doing what they know from their hearts that they really want to do. So today would be a really good day for, you know, kind of looking at your own self and where are you confidently moving out into the world versus where are you kind of hanging back or being in the shadows or not doing what you know you need to do or what you want to do from the heart because of a fear that you're not good enough or that people won't like you or they won't like your work. And it triggers that lack of confidence in yourself. So today, it's a day to be self-confident. It's a day to really pull your bootstraps up and go forward with what it is that your work is or what it is that you love. Take leadership. That is another energy that is a part of the moon in Leo, where we have this resoluteness, where we step up to the plate if we're called to. and we do things, we become the role models of what to be, of how to lead, of how to be in the world, as opposed to some of our other Leo-leaning leaders who are showing us the exact opposite of that, right? How not to be in a position of leadership. So stamina, resoluteness, the ability to stay the course, endurance. Leo is a fixed sign. It is fixed fire. So that's where we have the passion and the creative energy. But we also have that ability to endure and persevere through whatever it is that we need to do to get to where we want to go. All right. Pride, arrogance, narcissism. These are some of the more negative sides. Being the drama queen or the drama king, bossiness. Those are some of the more negative expressions that the moon may trigger in people. So, you know, you might want to turn off the news today if your leaders are not so dignified in their usual reaction to people in the public and their social skills, and not listen to all of that stuff that might be coming out of their mouths today. In the body, the moon in Leo can trigger maybe some back issues, some heart issues, spinal issues, really, the spine. So the spine takes up all the way from the top of the head, all the way down to the base of the spine at the spinal cord, or the, what is that thing called? Tailbone. So we have the idea of the spine, the spinal cord, and everything going through there. And it's interesting because yesterday I had a meltdown, an almost meltdown. I was, our other car was finished being fixed yesterday. So we were driving out to pick it up, which meant I drove home. And there's this one road that we come to where one road is ending and it's meeting up. You can't really see. It's a very, very strong diagonal that it comes at. So the other road kind of dead ends at it and you have to make a right or a left. You can go straight, but it becomes a different road. And I need to make a right to head back to my house, which means I'm having to turn my head left at a very sharp angle to be able to see the oncoming cars. And I couldn't do it. My neck was so stiff. I was literally almost in a panic. And I got stuck there because I wasn't going to jump out into the traffic because I couldn't tell. Is there a car coming? How far is that car? Because I'm only really being able to see it through my peripheral vision. Talk about a meltdown, right? Finally, I just had to get a grip. But it is the spine here that we're talking about. And the neck, of course, itself is a part of Taurus. So immediately I went into, okay, where am I clogged up here, right? What's going on in this upper part of my spine that I can't turn my head all the way to be able to look? I realized when I do that standing up, I'm turning my body to go look at something, not my neck. So we might have little clues from our body in our spine where we have been, where we've become encrusted perhaps, or stuck in some way. And as well, the heart. So heart issues like palpitations or anxiety, those kinds of things are also maybe prompted from an imbalance in your Leo energies. So let's see. I'm going to go to comments real quick, and then I might show the chart for the day. Debbie Hedden, good morning. Amy, I always say Leo will do anything for you, but don't forget their kudos. That's perfect, because that's exactly right. We don't want to forget to thank them and for their generosity. Allison, good morning. Amanda Hansen, good morning. Let's see. I woke at 7. JLo says with my kitten, put her out the room, fell back to sleep. Jennifer Peachy, good morning. Mimi, good morning. Debbie Tibbetts, 2 meal. I slept 10 hours with only one awakening. Wow. You must have needed the rest. Great to see everybody. If I've missed you, I'm so sorry. Allison, I think I did say good morning to you. Debbie Tibbetts, love Terry SpongeBob. Yep. He makes me laugh. JLo reminds me of the episode when he is going to work saying, I'm ready. I'm ready. Kamal, good morning. JLo, take a quick second and hit the thumbs up button. Thank you for reminding me about that and reminding the listeners, if you're liking the video, please hit the thumbs up button. JLo, Natasha, good morning. That is so my hubby, wanting to be heard, yet not sure how to take it when I give it to him. Great integrity, yet do it my way at the same time. Don't you love it? Kamal, I am a Leo. I have noticed these times are hard times of my life. The fear is there in me. Hope things get better. Kamal, as we've talked to you before about this, remember you're coming into that, or you are in the midst of that Saturn return. And that Saturn return is often feels a little heavy, and it feels a little bit serious, like life is serious. And then when the moon goes through a sign that's saying, hey, lighten up, you might be resistant to lightening up. And Leo doesn't like to have that damper put on them necessarily, but Saturn right now is kind of hauling you up for the need to be appointed at some kind of discipline, to get in integrity, to get, you know, back, get down to business, the business of living your life. So that would might be where you're feeling sort of the brake at the same time that there's the gas pedal. And it can be a little disconcerting as that can go on for a period of time. I know I'm getting hit 3 times with my Saturn return because it went forward over it, backwards over it. Well, it will go backwards over it soon. And then forward one more time over it. And you may be in that same position. So don't worry. Just look at what is it that Saturn is demanding of you to get back to your heart. Because remember, if you're a Leo, your whole life is about following your heart. It is about following your desire, doing what you love, being passionate. And right now, maybe Saturn is showing where you're not being like that. So maybe it's time to take a look at what that all means for you. Now, I want to share my screen for a moment, but I need to find the screen I want to share. Then I can share it because, boom, I wanted to show you where Leo is in a chart and how to tell. Here's the symbol for Leo. It looks almost like the same symbol as the North Node. So it is basically the outline of a lion's head with the mane, the curly of the hair and the mane. So here's the symbol of Leo. So where you can see right here, the moon at the time I wrote this chart was at 0 degrees, 37 minutes. And right now it's probably a little further beyond that. But you can see wherever this symbol is in your chart is where the moon has shifted into a different energy. Now, in this particular chart, if this were a person, this would be occurring in their first house and their second house. So the area where they might need to lighten up, where they might need to bring some creative energy, is in the house of the self, right? Bring their personality, what they look like, what they dress like. It might be a day to dress up crazy. Get some red and orange and yellow and put them all together. Oh, here. Like this, Mimi, remember the scarf that you sent me? I could put this on, add some pop of color to my life. That's what this might be representing for that person, as well as a shift in self-worth and in the ability to handle finances and earn money, being confident enough to go out and claim your worth. So if this were a person, that is the area of life that this would be happening in for them. And of course, there are 10 other houses in your astrology chart where these things could be happening. And you would have to look at your own chart, find Leo, then determine what the house is and what area of your life where maybe some lightening up can happen. All right. So that's what I wanted to share there. The other thing I wanted to take a look at here really quickly while we are engaged in the chart is Neptune. Here is our planet Neptune. He is sitting right in this chart on the cusp of the ninth and 10th house. But Neptune is now in retrograde. You see the little R there. Yesterday, he turned retrograde. And I have a sort of funny story to share with you about Neptune turning retrograde. So when a planet changes direction, that's usually where the most missteps happen, right? Where the miscommunication happens, or you interpret something incorrectly, or the flare up of anger or conflict or whatever it is, right? Whatever the planet's involved. So yesterday was my first day of broadcasting live to Oneness Talk Radio, only it didn't go. It didn't go out to Oneness Talk Radio because, thank you, Neptune going retrograde, I misunderstood the directions on how to do this. So I thought they had already set up the stream key and everything, and all I had to do was go live. But what they had done was set up the stream key for my other 4 days of the week shows for me. And on Monday, I need to change that to their stream key so that it will go not only to my channel, but their channel and everybody else's, all the other places. So hello, My show did not go to Oneness Talk Radio yesterday, so it will go on the 29th, although they did take the recording and upload it to other media outlets yesterday. But I thought it was funny because I was really upset after I got done in the morning because I felt really stupid. And I felt like, did you not hear the directions? Did you not get it? But how could I, with Mercury retrograde and Neptune turning retrograde, having slowed down to its stationary point? So I totally had it backwards. And yeah, well, anyway, it was fun. It's amusing now, but in the moment I was like, have you heard the saying, the wind knocked out of your sails? That's how I was feeling after I got off the broadcast yesterday. The wind just totally knocked out of my sails, as that totally did not happen the way that it was supposed to happen. And I was upset about it. And, you know, I'm still human. I may be here sitting here telling you all these things to do, but it doesn't mean that I don't also struggle with those same emotions. Moon in Cancer, right? Yesterday was just, I should have known better than to try to start a broadcast in a new place on that day. I thought the power of the new moon was better than the potential upset by the retrogrades. Lesson learned. So, but that's kind of an amusing thing. I hope nobody else had those kinds of weird things happen to them. But if you did, that explains it, right? Joshua, you will have gifts on the other side, Kamal. Keep moving forward. It's just transits. Exactly. Great, great thing to say to him, Joshua. Awesome. And Mimi, yes, I do remember, and it brings me a smile when you wear it. It's just so pretty and it feels so good on. And hey, just because I'm wearing blue doesn't mean I can't bring in those Leo reds and yellows, right? Ursula, Janet, if I have Leo in the 11th house, but it opens my 12th house, is the lunar energy affecting both houses? Yes, it is. Or is its strongest message the house Leo opens? Well, it's going to affect both. Wait, let me reread that. What did you say now? If I have Leo in the 11th, but it opens my 12th house. So initially then when the moon moves into Leo, then it is affecting your 11th house. And as it transits and progresses, it'll cross over into the 12th house. I'm not sure what the degrees are there, but indeed it is both affecting the house of networking and friends and socializing, your gifts or your dreams, your hopes and all of that. Then it is moving into the 12th house, which is a very much more quieted place, a place of withdrawing or a place of moving more into the spiritual realm. And so your Leo energy is sitting in both and maybe brings out in you as it moves later into Leo 12th house, a more spiritual focus and a more maybe wanting to share of yourself in that way, as opposed to maybe in the 11th house, which would be much more chattering, talking to people, socializing, networking, you know, being on social media, that kind of thing. So there you have that. J-Lo, oh shoot, I have Neptune in retro in the 6th house in my chart. The 6th house is rules the body, but it also rules the workplace. So the place you do your work. So if you're working outside of the house, it rules maybe the people that you're around, as well as the environment that you find yourself in. But it's also a house that rules our domestic animals. And you said you woke up this morning with your kitten on you. I think that's cute, right? Sort of a, what does cat represent to you? Let's look at that and see, you know, maybe cat represents independence and maybe the freedom to be and act independently from others, stepping out on your own perhaps. So I think that's kind of interesting too. Joshua, Ursula, Cancer rules 11 for you, Leo 12th. There you have it. Good, good, good. Joshua, are you new to us? Because I think I've seen you for a couple of days and I love seeing you out there. I'd love to know more about you. That's it. Okay, now let's go back to our Neptune retrograde for a minute, because we talked yesterday about what Neptune retrograde represents and how that would affect us. But we also need to kind of bring in the human design and gene keys aspect of where Neptune is sitting. Because as you know, we've talked about in the grand scheme of the historical importance of all of the transits that are happening, Neptune is the only outlier right? The only one not factored in at the Dark Ages and at the fall of Rome and in times past where we had plagues like the bubonic plague, etc. So Neptune being the only one that can really make a change, make the difference between the total destructive sort of energies of the past and the more conscious co-creation of a new reality here in the moment, right? Our ancestors living at that time did not have the ability to co-create. That it wasn't in their, it wasn't in their awareness, right? That you know, in their estimation at that time, it was more mythic, it was more spiritual, it was more God-centered, and things that happened had a different role that they played in that society. Well, you know, if you fast forward now, these, you know, 500 to 600, 700 years hence, and we are now at a point in our history or our evolution of consciousness where we are able to really consciously co-create our reality. Now, trust me when I say there's still a good percentage of people out there that have no clue what that means, that would never believe it in the first place because they're still caught up in the ancient, in old religions and old belief patterns that they just haven't come shaken loose yet. And yet there's still this high potential for us at this point in time to honor the energy of Neptune, which happens to be sitting at the gate 22 in your human design chart. And you know what? I should have brought up a human design chart. Let me do something really quickly here. I have time. We'll go to Jovian Archives, archive.com. And we'll get a just now chart, then everybody can see what I'm talking about as I talk about it. And let's do a just now chart. And I'm going to actually save this image. 6:20, can you believe it's the 23rd of June? Okay. All right, now my computer's being slow here. There we go, downloads. All right, now I'm going to share my chart so you guys can all see what I'm talking about here. All right, now all of you should be seeing the human design chart. This is called the Just Now chart. It is a chart of the moment. And so what it does is shows us where all of the planets are by gate. Here we have the sun and earth, Moon, North Node, South Node, Mercury, Venus, Mars, Jupiter, Saturn, Uranus, Neptune, and Pluto. And what we see then is by transit, we have the first four centers defined and the bottom, the lower body centers open. So we may be, just as a general, this isn't anything to do with Neptune, but we may generally speaking be feeling like we need to be more dependent on our thoughts and our heads. And there's a split here. So the head doesn't really, the head and the ajna aren't meeting up with the throat and the identity center here. So there could be this mismatch between what we know here in our soul or in our heart and what our heads know or think they know. And so that may be something we're grappling with as well. It's just an interesting thing to see here. But Neptune itself, here's Neptune's symbol. He is sitting at 22.5, meaning he's sitting in the hexagram 5 that's based in the I Ching. The fifth line gives us a little bit of different flavor that Neptune is playing at the moment. And here is where the gate 22 is. It is on the solar plexus. And we still have Mars over here at gate 36, creating a bit of that chaos and conflict and turbulence. So we are not, so we have the energy here of restless boredom and how do I get out of that? And then here we have this moodiness that comes up with the gate 22 where Neptune is sitting. So in Gene Keys, this is the gate of grace in the highest and the gift level is graciousness. In the lowest level, it's dishonor. And this is also, as some of you may know, the gate that is about our involution, about our inner evolution, right? The gate 55, also on the emotional center, is about our evolution. So it's changing how we interact with the outer world in a much more spiritually oriented way. The gate 22, however, is the what is changing on the inside of us. And what is changing on the inside of us is how we use emotional energy. So the involution or the work, the inner work that we are all doing, all of us, whether you have a defined emotional center or not, is working with the energy of mood and emotion, honoring your own moods and emotions, as well as the moods and emotions of others. What the path of involution here is for us all, or evolution, whatever, is how we use that emotional energy. So if we're feeling moody and we're feeling upset and we're feeling angry or frustrated, in the typical way that we've used that emotion, we've kind of packaged it up and thrown it out there, and we've blamed other people for that happening to us, or for the way we're feeling, or we want to blame the universe, or we blame the government, or we package it up and we throw it outside so that it's not us that's responsible for our own emotions. So what we're doing here now is we are really honoring that emotional energy within each one of us, even to the point where we may have to recognize at times when we're feeling antisocial or we're feeling negative in terms of mood, that we in some way, maybe we distance ourselves from social aspects if we can, that so that we can process our own emotional energy and what is it that we're dealing with. And I mean, a great example of is what I was experiencing yesterday when I found out after the show was over that this didn't happen the way that I thought it was going to happen. And I was torn emotionally between anger and upset that these people didn't train me well enough, versus my own upset at myself over not being able to be smart enough or coherent enough or whatever it was that at the moment I was, you know, blaming myself for. But luckily, I stopped short of taking that and throwing it out there onto them. You know, my emails back and forth to them were, okay, how do we fix this, right? What do I need to do? What did I get, how did I get this mixed up? And instead, at another time in my own life, and maybe even you guys have struggled with this, I may have just said, well, you guys did this. You didn't set this up right. It isn't me. It's you. And, you know, I could have just thrown a hissy fit at them. And I wanted to, right? A part of me still playing that game. And I really wanted to. And I had to really hold my line and, you know, process through all of my own stuff. And we can't do that sometimes in a social aspect. So this takes a huge volume of being able to control our emotions, work with our emotions, keeping them close at hand so that we're not blurping all of that out and blaming other people for the circumstances that we're in. So this is a time then for all of us to understand that emotional energy and how we are meant to be able to mature, great word there, to become more responsible for our own moods and our own emotional energy. So this gate, like all of the gates on the emotional center, actually are grace or not, right? Or conflict or not, right? The mood, it's based on mood. So we might have social aspects in this one, being social or being antisocial. We might have comfort in being around people and talking to people, followed by discomfort. And we might have a discomfort in the silence, right? This gate is also part of the mood of the solar plexus, is going into melancholy or going into the silence or going into the void, going into the dark, whichever way you want to, you know, frame that. But it is really about our ability to understand sort of duality and that idea of the mood being good and the mood not so good, the mood being very outward and extroverted and social versus the mood being more introverted or more quiet, more withdrawn, and being okay with that. This is also a gate of timing. Interesting, right? The solar plexus has timing. The spleen, so let me go back to this chart and I'll show it to you again. share my screen. This one. Okay. So this gate over here, or this center, is the spleen, and it is timing, and its timing is in the now. So this is where intuition resides, right? This is where instinct resides, because it's awareness in the moment, in the now. So the spleen represents time in the now, and survival in the now, right? It has survival energy here. The timing in this one is always in the moment. The emotional center has timing as well, as is one of its themes. But the timing here is in the mood or not in the mood. So it's a little trickier here, because clarity comes with time. So here you need extended periods of time to really get clear on what the emotions are that you're processing, about what, if you have this defined, colored in other words, in your human design chart, then you're an emotional being, and all of your big decisions, and I would almost posit to say all of your decisions, are made with clarity over time. How do I feel in the moment? And the question is, does this feel good? Does this make me happy? Does this make me excited? Does this bring me joy? Is this correct for me? And in this, then, whatever it is that you're doing takes some time to really get clarity about it. So I hope you, so that these two centers are involved with time, but timing is in the now, in the spleen, and timing is with clarity over time. It's a wave, right? And the wave can be high, high, low, low. It can be high, low, high, low, and it can be much more even, but we don't know that. So we wait for clarity over time. I know that's a concept that's sort of different. It's new to us. You know, it's something that we need to experience more and more of, because this is where we are evolving to the intelligence of the emotional center, away from the instinct of the spleen. Not that instinct deserts us, right? But instinct is often tied to fear, and the fear that something is going to eat us or chase us, or we're not going to survive, or, you know, we're not going to have the money to pay that bill, or we're not going to be able to eat, or whatever it is that the fear is. That's how we've based our intuition and our instinct in the past. And that's shifting over to a much more emotional orientation. And it's going to take some time, but by 2027, the emotional center has taken over the human design as the primary energy center for making decisions. And that'll be an interest. And we're experiencing the shift in that right now. So I do spend quite a bit of time talking you through this, because it's so important. All right. Now, I wanted to give you a quote about graciousness, Neptune's gift level in the Gene Keys, from Richard Rudd. Whatever you do in life, you consider others' feelings. So because this is a dual sort of energy, we have your own feelings engaged, but we also have what must other people be feeling. So we are being accountable for what we do and what we say, and at the gift level. And then we're also allowing that everything and everybody and everything that's happening is interconnected, right? It's all interconnected. So it's a huge leap, because right now I think we see things in terms of separateness, and that's that person and that's that person. But, you know, we don't look at how all of us are together in this, how we're all creating this reality. It's real easy to blame others for your situation. It's easy to blame. Oh, you know, the blame and the shame game, right? That's one of those things that we're moving through. We are leaving. Okay, back to the YouTube feed. Thank goddess, my heart-centered thinking will be the norm. Yes, this is an amazing prospect. It is an amazing prospect. It is also one that I think fills a lot of people with fear, that they're going to lose their own individualism, that, you know, if we're all interconnected to that level, is it, you know, think of the Star Trek series where they came across the Borg, and the Borg were all these beings that were sort of like robots, but they were all of one mind. I think they called it the hive. So you have this idea of the hive mind, and there's no individualism in that. And I think you see something like that on the screen, and what it really represents is the fear that we have that being interconnected, that bringing in oneness and unity means that the cost is of our individuality, but that is so not true. So I think we have that tension going on for the short term, the next several years, of our outgrowing that division and that polarization in favor of seeing how we're all interconnected and all a part of the same earth ship and moving forward in our evolution. So yes, Kamal, thank you, Natasha, for your wisdom. Oh, I love it. You guys are sharing with one another. Jules Delune, timing, if that isn't Neptune RX for me, timing is everything. Literally, timing is everything. Yep, involution describes Neptune retrograde perfectly. But involution is in and of itself a process that is concurrently happening with our evolution. It's just that the gate 22, which happens to be being hit by Neptune, is really showing it to us right now, while the gate 55 shows us the evolution, the changes that are happening on the outer side, which is also on the emotional center, which is also about spirit and abundance coming to us through spirit. So our evolution on one hand and our evolution on involution on the other. It just so happens that Neptune, the one different planet in all of the things that are happening, happens to be sitting at that gate 22. I love it. It's like perfect timing for everything else that's going on. One day, Ursula says, it would be fun to learn more about White Moon Selena. She is getting all my Leo lunar energy today. Well, the White Moon Selena is sort of the balance point to the Black Moon Lilith. And so where one represents the shadow, right, the part of you that you don't see clearly, your fear field that you're tapped into, the other one shows you what it is that you can use here on the planet to shine through. So if yours is in Leo, you're following your passion and living your life to its highest, following your heart. All of that is where you would find the most gifts and where you would shine the brightest in sharing with other people. So your White Moon Selena gives you that access. And some people, I don't know what the White Moon Selena is. I left that pretty much up to the I did do something about that in the membership. So you might look for that, Ursula. I think there was some more description in that and that component. And maybe I'll just take it out and send it to you later. Because the White Moon Selena is an important factor in really understanding how you're here to shine your light, right? How are you here to shine your light? On the other hand, you've got the Black Moon Lilith that shows you where you allow fear to take you away from shining that light. So they work sort of in tandem. You can't have one without the other, right? This is a duality sort of planet. So one and the other, they go hand in hand. So that would be a great class or a great show to work on one of these days. Okay. Terry, good morning. I thought you were out there all this time. That's great. So anyway, then the last thing that I want to share this morning is about our Pleiadian Earth energy. And I recognize some new names out there. I see new names out there. So I want to remind everybody that the Pleiadian Earth energy is based on this calendar that I got to go back to Zoom so I can make sure I can see this in the screen. The Pleiadian Earth energy calendar. There's also a book called Pleiadian Earth Astrology, and it is a calendar that is so different from our Gregorian calendar, even though it looks sort of the same, right? We have our Gregorian calendar up in the top. Where did my pens go this morning? So this top corner here gives you the Gregorian date. So here we are down here today at the 23rd. And then in the middle here, you've got the number of the energy of the day, the universal energy of the day. And then followed by the earth energy of the day in a word. So today is to being. And that means yesterday we started our new week, and we started our new week with the energy of enlightening. And that was the final Earth sign, so the 20th sign. And so we had sort of this new beginning that was also creating an ending. And that's our umbrella energy for the 13-day week. Well, today we come to two being. And two is purely the energy of duality, where one splits into two. And here is where, over time, human beings have gotten duality so wrong, right? It's the right use, the right purpose of duality, that one contrasts the other so that we can see and value both, that we recognize we can't have one without the other. There is no sensation of light if we don't know darkness, right? So when, how would we be able to differentiate the two, right? If it was all just light, but on this planet, we were learning about duality and how they're made up of both. So here we have how it applies to us on the planet itself would be our ability to see other people's ideas, to understand their thinking, even though they may be completely different from our own. And maybe we even sort of on some level reject their thoughts, their ideas, or their opinions, but we still value them because it's all a part of the whole, right? So we're seeing expansion from only one idea into many ideas. And we get a lot of different ideas going. And of course, you're going to have that potential in an unadvanced civilization. We may be advanced technologically, but we haven't done a whole lot of inner work on ourselves, except recently that we're starting to really move through that. And so we take that duality and we use it as tools of war or weapons against one another, for being different, for not being the same color skin, for not being the same religion, for not being in the same country. We have this concept of us, other, and that, causes a lot of problems that we weren't meant to have necessarily. Although you could say that, it was all a part of the human experience and our human evolution. So in a day like today, we are meant to see that there are no judgments, no separation, no competition, no struggle, and no conflict. That's all a machination of our mind as we misconstrue the use of the number two or of duality. And then we have today also the energy of being, which is the first day of the 20 Earth days. And this is a very highly creative energy, dovetails so nicely with Leo moon energy. And we may feel today on some level that we're struggling a bit for security, because this in the Mayan calendar was Emish. It was represented by the cosmic crocodile or the alligator who gave birth to the earth and to all of her creatures. And it's often represented too by the cosmic egg, which represents creation. And on one hand, we have this highly creative mothering nature, but it's also a very security oriented nature that struggles to make sure they have stability. And in sometimes that can imbalance things like bonding or our bonds with family, with a community, with a nation, and initiating these impulses to nurture those of like color, like skin. So this can be a complicating energy. What we have to find is that ability to be secure in our diversity and not be insecure in that diversity. So being brings that up to the surface for us and causes us to initiate possibly a new way of looking at nurturing all earthlings, all plants and life beings, forces on the planet, and not just those that we deem like us. So interesting energy, and it's a new birthing energy. It's like we've had this 3-day spread now of new energy. The new moon solar eclipse on Sunday, bridging from Saturday night to Sunday, Monday's energy of the one, enlightening in the Pleiadian Earth energy. And now we have today, even though it's two, we have being energy, which is the first energy of the earth energy. So we've had 3 days of new beginnings. Yay. All right. I'm going to take one last look over here, see if there's any questions, any comments that we need to deal with before we go. Marcella, hello. Augustina, yes, indeed. Always so grateful. Oh, to have the daily talks. You are most welcome. It's one of the things I really love to do. And yeah, I love it. All right, guys. No other questions, comments. So let me close with this. Please hit the like button, the thumbs up button for me. Also, if you like what I do in the morning, please hit subscribe, share this with your friends. And does Leo rule interruptions? I don't know. See you at the forum indeed today at noon for those of you in the membership. And J-Lo says, I kept getting calls having to rewatch. Oh, no worries. Anyway, that is it for me today. I will see you tomorrow. I'll see some of you this afternoon. See the rest of you tomorrow morning, where we'll start our chat about Venus turning direct and what is that? How does that change things up for us? As well, tomorrow night at 5 p.m. Pacific time, I will be on Angel Heart Radio. You can find them. She broadcasts live to Facebook on the Angel Heart Radio Facebook page. Say that 10 times fast. It is 5 p.m. my time, 8 p.m. East Coast time. That means likely in Europe it's pretty late at night. But we'll be doing a sort of review, let's say, of human design and pretending that you don't know anything about it, going in and starting with type and strategy and authority and that type of thing. So that'll be tomorrow night at 5 p.m. Pacific time. And you can also see the replay. That's also on their Facebook page, Angel Heart Radio. All right, guys, take care. Have a wonderful day and see you tomorrow. Mwah.